Hello, everyone. Today I'm joined by Jessica Patton, founding member and managing director of Fifth Century Partners. How are you doing today, Jessica?
Good, how are you, Tony?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for asking. So, for all those who aren't familiar, what is Fifth Century Partners?
Fifth Century Partners is a lower middle market private equity firm investing in business services and healthcare businesses, partnering with founders and management teams to help them think about the next era of growth.
And what is your investment thesis?
Our investment thesis, the really investment strategy, is focused on investing in founder-owned businesses. Again, thinking about the next era of growth, really bringing a couple of different things to bear through that faction of growth. So when we think about that, it's bringing really a builder's mindset. We're very operational, a team that has spent time as entrepreneurs and founders ourselves building businesses. So we bring that key skill set to our work. We bring as well a strong network from our investments and our operational experience to help enhance the businesses of our founders and owners. We really bring that expertise and that comes to bear in our investments. In addition to an investment team, we have a portfolio optimization group team that does a lot of work alongside with us. And then we bring capital, perhaps very importantly, to that work. So we invest in companies traditionally that have $10 to $100 million of revenue. It'll make an equity investment of $20 to $40 million to help to facilitate that growth alongside the operational assistance.
And speaking of market dynamics, how do you assess the current market conditions for private equity investments?
That's a deep question. I think when you think about the market, you have to think about the different factions of the market. And to be maybe a little bit more clear, when we talk about private equity, and I think that private equity can get sometimes confused for venture. In private equity, we're generally, and I'm going to use general terms because there are private equity firms can be different and have different strategies, but generally, private equity firms are looking to take buyout firms are looking to take some type of control stake in a company versus venture. It might be a minority investment or is generally a minority investment. We're generally taking control stakes, which means we're buying over 51% of that company. So let's just call that's what one of the things that differentiates private equity. And they're generally more concentrated bets. A venture firm will look at maybe traditionally putting 10 to 40 investments in one fund. We're going to look at putting 8 to 10 in one fund. So some of the differentiating factors of what private equity is, just to create a clarifying point of what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the market. So a couple of different things like that private equity funds and that are investing private investors in affecting private investors overall are really the interest rate market. I think everyone, even if they haven't experienced the interest rate market as an investor, is experiencing the interest rate market as a consumer. Whether you're someone that's in a high yield interest rate savings account, or you're seeing that inflation on your grocery bill, you're seeing it in some form or fashion in probably a couple of different places as it relates to that. But from an investor side, that interest rate does affect leverage on businesses. A lot of private equity investors do apply some form of leverage to their investment structure, which I won't get into how all of that works or the nuances of it, but higher interest rates means higher interest rate expense. So it's just something that has to be considered when modeling out returns. And that especially affects what we call the upper middle market companies or firms that are buying really large brands, call it billion-dollar brands. That really affects them because that is a thoughtful structure in that size of the market. On the lower middle market where we participate, which is much smaller businesses, we don't apply as much leverage to those businesses. So that's one of the things. Interest rate market is definitely affecting private equity overall, as well as the second thing that I would say is a really big part of the market today, and this affects all private investors from venture to private equity and others, is really the lack of distributions and exits. And that not only affects GPs, so we're a GP, meaning we're an entity, a general partner, which is we invest in companies directly. LPs are the people that we kind of report to, limited partners, and they invest in us to invest in companies. So this is affecting the whole ecosystem, which means with less exits, there's less liquidity for those limited partners, because that's what they're looking for. They're looking to take a dollar and turn that dollar into $3, $5, $10. And obviously I'm just talking about in $1 increments, but if you put $1 billion in front of those type of things, you can imagine the returns, which means it makes it harder for LPs to invest because they've received less liquidity back on their intended investments. And so there is a lot more strain in the market today as it relates to returns and where people are going to put their dollars. So hopefully that provides a little bit of color. Those are probably the two big factors that people are thinking about today in the PE environment, if you're in certain industries or certain other headlines that affect, but those are the really big ones.
Thank you for providing that color. And given those factors, what industries or sectors do you find particularly attractive at this time and why?
Yeah, we focus on healthcare and business services, and that's for a couple of different reasons. One, again, going back to the point of operational expertise, we've spent a lot of time in those sectors. We have a number of investments in each of those sectors and just continue to build strong expertise, both industry-wise and functionally within those spaces. Additionally, for us, we really see a lot of value in investing in companies that have basically a contractual type revenue, whether there's an official contract or not. It's just something that creates a recurring basis of revenue. So that is important as we underwrite investments and we think about the opportunity to grow and we think about their continuity, ensuring that we're not going to be subject to a change in trends as things move forward. And then healthcare in general, we think about the opportunities within healthcare continue to be substantive. The spend is really large. There are multiple acute pain points within the system. We have a aging boomer population that continues to have substantive needs. There are still multiple issues and comorbidities, things that need to be solved in a lot of different populations. So there's just a continued effort and focus on improving the space from all different key stakeholders. So I think that is continuously interesting to us. Also from a healthcare side, there's a substantive like amount of opportunity to be more purposeful and purpose-driven. I think something I didn't mention at the onset was our intent to be really thoughtful stakeholders. So while we look to achieve returns like all private equity firms do and to be really institutional in basis, we also think about the opportunity to be purpose-driven, think about the end stakeholders, whether they be consumers or clients or healthcare patients and improving their outcomes, as well as thinking about the leadership team and employees holistically to be thoughtful stakeholders of capital. So when it comes to healthcare in particular, the patient outcomes and the opportunity to improve those continue to make us really excited. We've done some investments, for example, most recently in a ABA therapy company, and really excited about that's up for autism, and really exciting to think about the opportunity to improve the outcomes for the inpatients there. And on the services side, there are just continual opportunities. And when we talk about services, there's a variety of different areas of services that we mean. It can be really environmental services, facility services, healthcare services. There are a number of different areas that we've spent some time in digital infrastructure that we have considered investments in and have investments in. But that area, depending on the space, sometimes has some of the more nuanced purpose-driven like elements that I mentioned, but also like really strong opportunity to build and grow businesses in different areas. So if you take the environmental services example, we've looked at some businesses in that space where you can think about an opportunity to verticalize a company and add a recycling component to it that makes it both more profitable, but also adds more of a purpose-driven, mission-driven like lens to the work. So those are just some examples about what makes markets interesting. I think it's hard to talk about them in very high specificity, talk about big markets, but when you get into each niche, which is like what great investors do, they spend a lot of time thinking about what about behavioral health is interesting and what drives us in that field and what is our operating expertise there blended with the opportunity we have to create value. That's what we do for each niche market. So think about that niche market leadership and the opportunity to invest that way, though we do have these hallmarks of healthcare and business services that we focus on every day.
Gotcha. You successfully closed a $150 million fund one, and you're currently raising $250 million for fund two. What factors do you feel contribute to your fundraising success, and how does your firm stand out in the competitive private equity landscape?
On the success side, it's always hard to pin things down because unfortunately we didn't get to sit in the room with like our limited partner investment committees, but I think there are a couple of core pillars that stood out if I was to consider why or some of the feedback that we received, which is one, I think really our expertise, our operational expertise, our experience investing comes to bear. Clearly, we're institutional folks that have spent time at really great investment firms and built a firm based off of that experience, as well as have deep operational experience. So I think that's number one. That's core to the fundraising success. Secondarily, we were grateful and in a really good place to get strong support in the beginning. We had a really great anchor, a family office based here in Chicago that really helped to set the tone for our first fund. And our investor base overall, I think, is a little bit differentiated. I'd call them not only like financial investors, but also strategic investors, meaning these are the people that are willing to get on a call, to make a reference, to reach out to other funds, to share why they underwrote an investment and what were their key considerations to doing that. So I think that anyone, whether they're a private equity fund or a company themselves, if you can find those type of strategic investors, those are the best people, because they're not just people who put the give you the money, but folks that will go above and beyond to not only provide references, but to think about provide insights on building firms and share some of their kind of core learnings in their journey to success. That was really important. And then I really think it's a lot of other more qualitative things, like continuing to iterate, to problem solve, to get through the funnel, take the no's and learn from the no's, get maybes to a yes or a no, just continue to work through that and be thoughtful as a team about the work and accomplishing the goal. And then also I think it's not just, wasn't just our team and our build, but having really great service providers, the folks that supported us from the beginning as it related to all of the things that we needed to do. You have to have a law firm, you have to have a fund administrator, you have to have a bank, like you have to have all of these different functions. You have to have a really strong back office. And I think that speaks well to our CFO who led a lot of that work. So those are just a couple of things. There are also a lot of nuances for emerging managers, which I'll go through quickly, but a lot of what emerging managers deal with is a lack of portability of track record. So if you did investments at a prior fund, they're not going to give you your track record to basically go out and show other funds. So we're able to find workarounds to be able to do that. And so it's really important for the emerging manager community to find an opportunity to be able to like say, while I can't attribute directly to these investment successes, I can talk to you about those investments and my role on them, and someone can corroborate as well what I've done. So we're able to figure that out. We're able to figure out the working capital side, because before you have an actual fund, you actually have to make some type of organizational like investment. So we're able to work through that and figure it out formatively. And then also the last thing that more emerging managers deal with is some concern around the team and the lack of the team having, if your team didn't spin out from KKR and work together on KKR technology deals, then they're like, oh, like, how do we know that you're going to work together? How do we know that this isn't going to implode in terms of relationships? So we're able to thoughtfully navigate that question as well by talking about the tenure of our relationships while not traditional working ones, just how we've come together and, you know, how we built it and how we've mitigated risk around relationships by building, for example, a strong coaching function to be able to reduce friction and get over just challenges. So anyway, hopefully I provide a little bit of context. It's certainly not an easy feat, but something we're able to accomplish with a lot of those different key factors.
No, that was super helpful. Thank you so much. And Jessica, thank you so much also for stopping by and sharing your insights. Definitely appreciate your time.
Perfect. Thanks, Tony.